Fat episode. You guys know what we're going to talk about. Brian Ferentz's contract got amended. Twitter wants to be a bunch of super sleuths, and they have all the opinions. And so we're here to give our opinions because that's just what today's world is. Everybody just gives their opinions. Also, Iowa got a transfer linebacker that really shores up the defense. That's exciting. Strap up. Let's have a day. Let's go. Turn it to the YouTube right now if you haven't, because we've got some high definition Kevin Ward in the building. Holy shit. Is this podcast taking a step up?
Probably not. Good, boys. Not too bad. Not too bad.
My goodness.
We'll say, yeah. The HD catches my glow.
Yeah, you're damn right it does. Your camera's currently on the move. I don't know what's happening to it.
What's going on with that?
For those watching, which is a fair contingent of the total listenership nowadays to the Wash Up Walk-Ons, is you're seeing Kevin in high definition. He finally has upgraded from the Frogger pixelated version of Kevin Ward. It's still
so, the cord just came out of the box, man. It's still all tight and everything. We're gonna have to give it a few.
G Money is laughing in the background. This could be a shit show podcast. Who knows? But it's pretty great, Kevin. Oh, now he's showing you the neighborhood. Hopefully nobody breaks in. Welcome into the podcast. Welcome into the show. Drake is not here tonight. He did send some words. Let me pull that up. He was not able to make it. It's for good reason. Had a friend, had a little incident, had a little injury happen. He was going to take his friend some food, hang out with him, spend some time with him as he's laid up. And I asked, Drake, is there anything you really want to say? We can record early, 15, 20 minutes today, and then I'll splice it together with what I do with Kevin. And he said, I'm good. Tell the haters. I say, fuck you. So haters, there you go. You've been told.
Do you think anyone listens to our podcast just as a hater? Like, I fucking hate these guys.
I've always wondered, right?
Yeah.
I've had several people on Twitter who don't follow me, don't follow the walk-ons. And oftentimes they do follow me and follow the walk-ons account, but some who don't, and they will get into conversations with me about certain things.
Don't you have a parody account right now?
And then I'll say something like, you're still going to listen to the episode, huh? Or they're saying something, they're bringing something up about something that we've said on an episode. And I'm like, dude, you don't even follow us. Why are you listening? So yeah, they still tune in. Do you know how much better the clips are going to be, Kevin? Gary, bring your ass in here and tell Kevin how good the clips are going to be.
They're going to be great. Now people can see HD Kevin. So
yeah, and really can see HD.
Yeah, the clips are going to start doing numbies with the above 40-year-old women now, right?
Ooh.
The MILFs are going to get into the walk-ons.
Is that the target demographic for you guys?
We got to expand our demographics, man. We're a little middle-aged male heavy.
I was going to say, I think we're entering the age where 40-year-old women could be real attracted to us.
I could see that.
Wait, are we just getting to that part?
They're obviously attracted to college kid, like college age kids. But I don't know about you, Kev, but even to me, people like Gary and his constituents, his fellow young kids, dude, they're only like 8 years younger than us, but they look 15 years younger than us.
Oh, no shit. No doubt whatsoever. Like, there's even a guy I work with. He's like 24, I think. And he looks like he's in high school, like the just biggest baby face ever. I don't know what it is. It's like, did kids like stop going through puberty?
No, dude, here's the thing is by some degree, I do think generationally we look younger and younger. And I think that's actually highlighted best by if you go and watch that Niall Kinnick documentary and you watch those guys stand on stage when he accepts the speech and when they're up in front of the crowd at Iowa in their Letterman's jackets, those dudes look like 30-year-olds today.
Just go look in your parents' yearbook. Like my That's dad's what I'm high school picture looks older than I look right now.
It looks 35, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's got a full-grown stash and everything.
So I think by generation, and this would make sense, right, if we're figuring out ways to be healthier and age slower, I think by generation we're probably slowly extending the youth. However, I do think there's something biologically that is like, you know, the kids, you know, Gary walks out into the hallway of his apartment there and there's a bunch of 21-year-olds running around and they just look different because we're 28 and we can sense that they're younger than us. Like it's something innate. It's biological. I don't know.
I wonder, like, you know how, cause I notice it more with men than women, right? Like I feel like
agreed.
A 21-year-old girl looks the same as like a 21-year-old girl used to like when we were in college, right?
And it's
like I can peg a woman as like she's like 20 to 23, to, you know, versus like a guy, I'm like, you look like you're 17.
You can peg a woman. That's what you said.
Been known to.
You can peg a guy too, technically. Yeah, no, you're right. The girls crapshoot, especially with makeup.
Yeah, but do you know how like male sperm counts have just been like falling off a cliff?
It's like
half of what it was 50 years ago, the average male sperm count. Do you think it has anything to do with that? Like maybe men are producing less testosterone and we just have more baby faces for longer? I don't know.
Interesting. I think there's a lot of variables that go into that. And it's actually,
or are we just getting older and these kids look like fucking babies?
I think that's most of it. Okay. I think the kids look like fucking babies. Yeah. Now, the drop in testosterone and the what do they call it? The vitality of a man. Those numbers are because we sleep like shit, we eat like shit, there's tons of plastics in our environment, and you know, there's a million other factors. But we're a pussy society in general.
I wonder, like, I don't know. I don't know if that's like worldwide numbers or if that's just like Western civilization or advanced civilizations. Yeah. Like, I don't know if like you go to like an undeveloped country, are those numbers similar? Or I don't know.
Deep into the tribes of Africa, and you just find some tribe that's like they're just
fertile somewhere down like remote Amazon or just super rural Eastern Europe or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You even get near one of those guys and you're pregnant. They're just fertile. So there's 8-9 minutes of bullshit that you can come to expect when you listen to this show. Welcome in to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. And like I said, Drake won't be here tonight. And it's probably for the betterment of the conversation because we are going to talk about something that is closer to him than it is Kevin or I. It's something that none of us really, I mean, Kevin and I certainly could just skip over and we would be totally fine never discussing it. And really Drake as well. But it is the hot topic of the week. And it is the fact that Kentucky Buttercake is back at Crumbl this week. It's not that. It's the Brian Ferentz contract thing, but Kentucky Buttercake.
I was about to say, I didn't get a chance to go to Crumbl this week. I am going on vacation. I'm trying to look good next week.
You know that one Crumbl cookie, 300 extra calories, wouldn't do shit to your appearance. 600 calories if you eat the whole cookie, I guess. Where are you going next week? Is this the Hawaii trip?
This is the Hawaii trip, yep.
This is the Hawaii trip. Oh, interesting. Mm. Yeah.
It's going to be good, man. It's going to be good.
I'm jealous.
You should be.
I've been there.
Doesn't matter. You should still be jealous.
And I am. I still am.
Good. Good.
Before we get to the Brian Ferentz stuff, because that's going to be the bulk of this conversation, including a little bit of Super Bowl talk, let's start with this. Announced about 90 minutes or 2 hours ago, the Hawks got another transfer, a 4-star by the recruiting services in the transfer portal. Nick Jackson out of Virginia will be transferring to the University of Iowa for his final 1 or 2 years. I believe he played 4 years at Virginia. Grant, pull that up if you'd like. And he's a good get for the Hawks here. He is, you can just read it right
linebacker,
here.
Linebacker, huh?
Linebacker. He was second team all ACC last year. Linebacker, ACC linebacker of the week, looks like once or twice. He's been named to several awards and achievements. And
do we know if he played inside or outside?
I'm not sure. I would guess inside.
That's what we need. We lost a couple of really good players there. So
go down at Virginia 2022 there, Grant. Here's what I really like. He's one of 5 team captains.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
That's absolutely huge.
Love that. Yeah.
Led the ACC and ranked 9th in the nation with 10.4 tackles per game. Huge. 104 total tackles. 5th most in the ACC. Notched a career high 5 sacks and 7 TFLs. And he had 3 straight 100 tackle seasons.
So this dude, yeah, this could be a plug and play type dude for sure.
That's a plug and play guy.
Yeah.
That's a plug and play guy. He's a starter.
What are his measurables?
He is, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, I believe he's somewhere around like 6'1", 230.
Okay. It's an Iowa linebacker right
6'1",
there.
6'1", 235.
Okay.
You're basically looking at Josie Jewell size-wise. Now, pump the brakes. Pump the brakes on the Josie Jewell comparisons, but he's a stout little guy. I mean, he's not Jack Campbell at 6'5", but he's 6'1", 235.
Yeah, well, I mean, we need someone in the middle to go on and take on some guards.
We absolutely do, and I like the experience. I don't know if the ACC week in, week out is exactly what he's going to see at the Big Ten level. I know it's not, but it's D1 football, right? And 100-plus tackles in 3 straight seasons, this guy's going to get into the program. He's going to get under Goat Wallace. He's going to get under Phil Parker. He's going to start to understand the culture and how they play football on that side of the ball in Iowa City. And I think this, maybe even more than Cade or Eric All on the offensive side of the ball, I think this might be the easiest transition, one of the most fluid pickups of the offseason.
I mean, it really is huge. I mean, linebacker is one of the question marks of the defense going into this
huge
year.
Question mark.
You lose Benson, you lose Campbell, and you lose Jacobs, right? I feel pretty good about Higgins coming back. He'll probably be our, I don't know if he'll be our Mike or our Will. I'm guessing Will seems like more to be his natural position.
Yeah.
And this guy can probably step in and be your Mike day one. The thing that would make me think otherwise, like maybe you switch those two guys is, you know, the Mike is the quarterback of the defense, right?
And
you're making all the calls, making all the D-line adjustments.
Right.
Higgins has a little bit more experience in the system, obviously. Maybe might feel a little bit more comfortable making the calls. But as far as skill-wise, athletically, you can pretty much flip those two guys around.
Yep.
There's not a whole lot of, you know, you need a little bit more of this to play Mike or this to play Will. Not a whole lot of it, in my opinion.
A huge get. Because I believe we actually beat out, you know what, I can just pull from the source. I'll just go to my source. We beat out Oklahoma, LSU, and Auburn to get this kid.
Damn.
Those were the 4 top schools that he had and where he was looking to transfer. And it came down to us in Oklahoma, and we got his ass.
I love to hear that. Absolutely love to hear that. Yeah, it sounds like I've obviously not watched him play at all, but sounds like he's a good player. And I absolutely love the fact that he was a captain. That's honestly huge in my book.
Because what that speaks to right there is, one, he's respected by his teammates and he's respected by his coaches. Mm-hmm. And they trust him in a front-facing public form of leadership. When you announce a captain, I mean, Kevin knows all about this. When you announce a captain, they tweet them out before every game. It goes out to the, you know, the news writers. They're always like, oh, who's the captains? They're the ones who walk to the edge of the field. That is your Leonidas. He's the one who's walking out and he's representing. And so if they choose that guy, I'm real happy with that. Not that the defense necessarily needs a bunch of like, hey, we're in severe lack of leadership. Cause like we've talked about, that side of the ball is pretty locked in. I mean, we're going to have some dudes, but he fills a gap. I mean,
you know, coaches would say it all the time. You can never have enough leaders, right?
Never. Coach Ferentz also loved to say that great teams, their best players play their best, especially towards the end of the season. They need the best players, and they're usually the older players playing their best. This guy steps in, potentially adds to the flock of guys who fit that bill. So this is big. I'm really happy with it. Reaction on Twitter, everyone's super happy with it. And this feels good. This almost feels like the last piece the defense needed.
Exactly. That is a piece where you can probably think, they set a really high bar last year. I don't know if we'll get back to it again this year, but that is a piece where you think, okay, this guy comes in and fits in with the system really well, and we can hit the ground running like we didn't drop a beat, right?
He gives us a chance to be at a similar level. That's what it does. Source says that we are still in the running and still hunting down a corner and a wide receiver yet in the portal. So
when does the portal close? When do we they have to be there by?
I think it's open perpetually.
Because what, Charlie Jones transferred after spring ball, right?
Yeah, it was like in May. Yeah. I do believe there's a window where during the season you can't other teams cannot sign people from the portal until a certain date.
Once the season starts.
So the teams, the organizations, the universities cannot bring people in from the portal. However, on the input side, players deciding to enter, I think you can enter at any point.
I know that. It's just a matter of when can teams take you and put you on their roster.
So I believe this year was December 4th, if I remember that correctly. It was somewhere around.
Starts
December 4th.
Right.
Yes. That's like
and the ends what?
No idea. First game. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. So nice to get him. And that's big. Before we get to the juicy stuff, I want to give a call out there to the all the people who consume our content. Appreciate the kind words that y'all have given Gary specifically over last 2 weeks. He's more than deserves it. He's been pumping out great clips, and the guy, he just wants to get better. He jumps in the call today before we hit record and he goes, man, I've been putting out duds. I need to figure out a way to up my fucking clip game. Right. And that's what we want around here.
Well, Gary, you're only dealing with so much, right? You don't have 5-star content to put out there, right?
You got 2 stars.
Well, now we got Kevin Ward in HD. So,
now you got 2.5 stars.
Yeah. And you know what, Gary? The glow up that Kevin's had with this new webcam, the amount that I'm already enjoying it, you might have one at your door soon. And Drake might as well, because Drake claimed he had a webcam and he was using it, but it honestly trash.
Here's the question. Do we want a clearer look at Drake?
No one really does.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like a car accident where you have to look, right? Can't take your eyes off.
But yeah, Gary has been Kirk Ferentz, taking walk-ons and 2 stars and winning Big Ten championships. You give him a bunch of 5 stars and you're going to win national championships, but you've been doing great stuff, man. We appreciate you.
Oh, you guys are too kind. Thank you. And once again, thanks to everyone, though. Everyone's too nice to me on social media. Thanks, guys.
No,
ask them to be meaner to you. Do you want them to say mean things about you?
I don't know. Do we need a
roast Gary session?
Well,
if it does numbers, sure.
After so many episodes, there might be a roast of intern Gary episode. That would be fun.
If it does numbers.
But we appreciate you, and clearly the people on social appreciate you. And I want to give a little shout out slash call for everyone to follow us on all the platforms so that you can consume the content that Gary is producing. The Walk-Ons now have a TikTok. We're hip as fuck. We're hip. Now, we're not doing dances, right?
I'll start doing some dances.
If we were to get maybe at some tailgates, maybe at the Northwestern game next year, if the boys make it to Chicago, we can talk about that in a second. We can do some TikTok dances. But for now, the same clips that you see on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, they're all repurposed. You're going to see the same clips on all the stuff. But the boys want your support. So go on over to the TikTok, follow the Washed Up Walk-Ons, same thing, at Washed Up Walk-Ons. Follow us on the YouTube, subscribe to the YouTubes, and leave comments on the YouTubes. And turn on the notification bell, right? Smash the like button. All the things that the YouTubers say.
Do we got the YouTube shorts going on our
We got page? The shorts going. Let's Gary's go. On the shorts now. So, like, you know, we want you to follow us on all the platforms. And then I put a small thing out on Twitter today that was talking about the Three Blind Mice podcast, which is the DHT podcast. And, I mean, we had a lot of fun. Gary, we had a lot of fun yesterday, didn't we?
Yes. No, it was really fun.
That was an unbelievable hour of DHT. That is on Patreon. That is an extra weekly podcast. You get 4 per month. You get 50 plus, and we'll call it 45 plus extra podcasts a year for $8 a month. And half of that goes to the Children's Hospital. You get an extra podcast, which is extremely not safe for work. It is all topics that are non-football. It's called Dickhead Tuesday, and it is an elite podcast. Plus all the other perks you get. So patreon.com/washedupwalkons. And we appreciate all of your support. Finally, Grant was going to pop in and do his job. Come on, baby.
I was ready. But you
tell me, what should I do?
You should tell the listeners about our friends at the Washington County Pork Producers.
You're right. I should. I mean, what a guy, right? And this is the thing. The Walk-Ons are now in cahoots with the pork producers, specifically of Washington County, the largest pork producing county in the state of Iowa. Kevin, pork is an incredible food, isn't it?
Oh, please. Bacon? That's all you need to say. Say less.
But pork butt? Ribs?
Pork belly? Pork shoulder?
Pork chops?
Pork loin?
Are you kidding me? If you don't have pork in your diet, and by the way, Kev, you know this.
How about a nice pork tenderloin where the meat is about 8 times as big as the bread you get it served on? A little bit of mustard on there.
No way you can finish it, but you're excited to try?
Mm-hmm.
Now, unless you...
Speaking of pork tenderloin.
Give it to me.
You know Jethro's Barbecue?
Of course. There's 5, 6...
I don't know how to say the last fucking name.
Adam Emenecker?
Yeah, exactly. The challenge that was on Man versus Food.
I do.
Iowa City's getting a Jethro's.
I heard that Iowa City's getting a Jethro's.
Super hyped about that, and I can go eat more pork there.
You can. And there's actually a Jethro's probably, yeah, I think it is just less than a mile away from my house. So been there, been eating the pork, and you should too. It's an extremely lean meat before you do all the stuff to it. If you're in lack of, and here's nutrition coach Tyler coming out, everybody needs more protein. Pork's a good way to get it. And then Drake would add something in here at the end about pork and your mom, and then we'd complete the advertisement. There we go. Right? There we go. We've ran the full gamut, the full circle there. So, okay. Do we have to talk about this? I mean,
do we have to?
There's one episode that we've done, and it was the race stuff, where I legitimately, before we pressed record, was like, I do not want to do this.
Oh, this I was nervous about that one.
I was sweating.
That one,
I've never sweat. Drake was giggling before that podcast, like nervous laughter of like, oh my God, we're about to talk about this. This is not one of those moments. It's not nearly as serious, although goddamn some of you on social media seem to take it that way. It came out yesterday, and this was sort of the final nail in the coffin for anybody hoping or praying or wondering if there was going to be coaching changes, that Brian Ferentz's contract has been amended and will now feature a, I believe there was an expected pay jump. As part of these,
Typically, like the staff, they get,
pay. They all get every year. Everybody gets a percentage.
They get scheduled raises. Yeah,
his jump is not going through. His salary is going to stay the same for the following year, and there are now stipulations, or let's call them performance metrics, that he is expected to meet, and the general consensus of the outside world was, of course, what it was always going to be. And it's like, wow, this is what you want out of your offensive coordinator. These are the standards that you want your OC to meet, which is lazy, right? You're lazy and you're trying to be mad, but we'll look past that for now. Gary, I see that you've pulled up the contract. Is that the front page? Or I know we said we were going to go through this thing. It's 25.
That's page one of the contract.
Okay. The main additions to this contract and the thing that everybody's focused on is 25-7, 25 points a game and 7 wins, which is really interesting to me. Kev, first off, have you ever heard of like, and there's already been argument about like, well, if he doesn't meet those things, they're just going to say that this specific contract is terminated and they're going to draft him a new one with less salary. He's going to stick around, whatever. I think the implication of this is if they do not win 7 games and they do not score 25 points a game, I think that they are not going to renew his contract. Now, you can sit there at home and you can laugh at me. You can say that I'm naive. You can say that I'm dumb for thinking that they're actually going to let his contract expire and not renew it. And you can sit there and draft more tweets and think up ways to use the word nepotism because it sounds cool. But I truly believe that this is the way out for Gary Barta and Coach Kirk Ferentz. I agree. It is damn near impossible to fire your son. It has probably, because of the lack of performance on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to let you speak here too in a sec, Kev, because I know I asked you.
Do you think?
I asked you what you thought, and then I just kept going. They put themselves in a bad spot because if it goes wrong, which it has on the offensive side of the ball, shit starts to get bad, and that's what happened. There's really no other. I don't need to elaborate on that. And so those are my thoughts initially. Kev, what did you think about when you saw this come out yesterday?
I personally think it was pretty overblown.
Thank you. I thought this was a nothing burger, but
yeah, I mean, 7 wins is not the goal, right? That's a weird performance metric to put on your OC.
It's not, and them putting that on there isn't even saying that it is their goal. That's the floor. That's like, if you don't,
right. I think I agree with you more. Like, this is like, if we don't achieve these goals, then it's time to make a change. Right. Correct. I love Brian. I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great coach. And I think he's a really smart dude.
Very.
But if we have another year similar to last year, right.
Yep.
I don't think we're doing anyone favors by dragging it out another year.
Nobody.
I don't think we're doing KF. I don't think we're doing Brian. It's the fan base, the players. Like, I don't think we're doing anyone a favor if it's just like another year and it just doesn't work. Now, we've talked about on the last few podcasts where I fully expect the offense to be dramatically improved this year.
Mm-hmm.
I fully expect to hit the 7 wins mark. Mm-hmm. 25 points per game. Do we know if that's just offensive points?
So therein lies the first immediate question is, okay, probably should have specified here because our defense scores points, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, like I think last year, if we scored 25 points a game or on offense, like we scored 25 points every game, we would have only lost to Ohio State, Michigan. What was the Nebraska score? But asterisks next to that one because we had an eighth string quarterback playing.
That's true. No, you're right. You're right. I think the
we put up 25 points per game, like offensive points per game. Big Ten West champs.
There was a points beats Nebraska, by the way.
Yeah. What was it? What was the score?
24-17.
Oh, there you go. We went. Yeah. So we went 10-2 last year.
The metric, and maybe I got this wrong, but I saw something close to this, was when we score 24 or 25 points a game, our record in the last 58 games is 55-3.
There you go. Yeah.
Or whenever the last 58 games that we've scored 24 or more.
Mm-hmm.
So probably a reason why they would look at that number and say,
I'm trying to think. Northwestern 2016. Defense had a rough day that day.
There's times when we've given up more than 24. It's a bit confusing to think about. It's when the Hawks have scored 24 or more points, we have gone 55-3. So, you know, whatever. Good metric to have. Probably something that they on the inside might have even based this number on. Like, holy shit. Okay, let's set it at 25 then. Because if we're going at a 55-3 clip when we score 25 or more, hey, great place to put it. Also, I get it. 25 is not what we're looking for. You fucking super sleuths out there did the research. Congratulations. Yes, 25 points a game would have put us 85th in the country. I get it. It's not what we're looking for, right?
Is that right? Oh, man, I think that's a sad statement on defenses in college football these days.
Yeah, nobody thinks about that.
Yeah.
And nobody plays football like Iowa where, you know, it's again, the scoring can't be looked at one-to-one like these other programs who are giving up and putting up points. I just don't think you can compare it. But nonetheless, that's what you're going to get compared to. So, yes, it would have been 85th in the country. That's not the goal. But when you set performance goals at any company, year over year, Kevin probably has performance metrics, you know, quotas, all this stuff. To some small extent, I've got ideas of numbers that I'd like the walk-ons to hit with listens and downloads and sponsorship money and all this stuff. You have to set attainable goal. You can't just jump. Okay. You guys are the ones who have been keen to mention that we're last in the country in offense. So we can't just all of a sudden, when we decide to put a metric on a contract in paper, in writing, you can't just go right to the top of what you want long term. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go from like 120 to 80, if you jump 40 spots, that's
unfucking believable.
Good improvement. Yeah. No, yeah, you're totally right. I'm optimistic about what the offense is going to do this year compared to last year.
Same.
But remember, most of our players on offense this year were the same guys on offense last year.
Correct.
Either starting or on the bench, right?
We got a couple.
Yeah,
we've important.
A handful of portal guys, but most of the dudes are going to be the same. Now they're going to have another whole year of development, another whole year of weight room training, practice, film work, and a few new guys that should add a little spice to the offense. But more, you're getting 70% of what you got last year, right?
Correct. And I just think that people who are freaking out over these numbers need to realize that you don't, when you set a metric that is, in my opinion, the way they've written this, and Grant, if you can find maybe you already found the spot where it says, if coach does not meet these terms, the contract gets terminated or whatever. If you're going to put it in writing, then you need attainable, like y'all ever heard of SMART goals? You know, like specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time bound. Well, realistic is a good, and attainable are two of those. And jumping to the 50th best offense, if that's what you want, right? That's what we should want long term. That would be a great goal if we could get to 50th in the country in offense. If we could score 32, 33 points per game, awesome. Great long-term goal to where if we hit those metrics someday, we'd finally be okay with like, hey, if we hang out here, we're good. We are okay with this because you can't go up forever. But you can't just set those in year one of them now setting this precedent of putting it in a contract. And I, for one, Kev, think it's really weird to put a win number in one coach's contract, but not other coaches' contracts.
Yeah, yeah. I that was a little confusing. But, yeah, Iowa City will burn down if we don't hit that win number.
Oh, we've got other problems. if we score... So, and this is where the conversation gets interesting. Cause let's say we win 10 games and we average 23.8 points per game, right? Are people pissed? Is he fired? You mentioned, is it offensive points? Grant, pull up the stats of the link of the graphic on the defensive points per game help. So, you know, people, if you ask the lay person, they probably tell you like, oh, our defense scores like 7-10 points per game, right? Not true. Grant's going to pull up the sheet here in a second. We get about 3 points per game, and that was last year. So here's the numbers. If you scroll down there, Grant, it starts at 2001. This is from Hawkeye game film. He went back.
This guy knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about. I don't know who this guy is, but he's smart. And this is how consistent Iowa's scoring numbers were impacted by defense and special team scores. Last year in 2022, we scored an abysmal 14.16 offensive points per game, right? But we only scored 17.7 total points per game. So, yes, while our defense was scoring at, I believe, wow, the last 2 years, it's been exactly 3.54 points per game. That is the most in the last 20 years. And it's still only 3.5 points of help, right? So in reality, if we are able to do that again in 2023 and we hit 25 points per game, the offense is scoring 21.5 points per game, at least. Again, I don't think that's something that we should shoot for. But let's calm our tits a little bit on, well, the defense gets you half the points. It's just not true. It's just not true. Okay.
Do any of the other, like, does Phil have performance metrics in his contract?
That was my question. I don't believe they do. Yeah. I don't believe they do. I bet he would welcome them. I think he'd be okay with them.
Oh, Phil loves a challenge. Absolutely. I also fucking loves it.
I also know that the numbers that he's putting up aren't even in fucking, they're not even close to danger land of, you know, of anything that they would put in a contractual agreement because they're just murdering shit on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't think, and I've never heard of other coaches, pro or college, and I may be wrong. Maybe these are common. I've never heard of other coaches getting a,
it's common for head coaches.
But is it common for termination or is it common for bonuses?
Bonuses.
Because Kirk's always had like an 8-win, $500,000 bonus and a bowl game bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's common to put into contracts if you don't meet a certain number, you're fired.
No, I don't believe so. No.
So this is really interesting to me. I do think that in a way, like I said, very hard for... I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy who says it. This is not professional. This is not what Tom Cakert or Scott Docterman or any of the people would say. This is something that Drake would usually say. Let's just imagine Drake. This is coming out of Drake's mouth. Gary, Kirk is your daddy. Like Kirk Ferentz owns you. He owns you because the fans are right. If there was a performance of this nature and the consistent offensive production rankings at any other school, and it was a father-son situation where they're not in a place where Kirk Ferentz owns the school, he has all the power. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. Pretty good guy to give the power to. But the AD would have made an overriding decision far and away long time ago. But Barta is not going to overstep. He is a weak AD. And I'm not even in favor of the decision. I think that Brian deserves this third year for reasons we'll talk about in a second. But he would not be getting this third year in other places because the ADs would have put their foot down and said, hey, buddy, you're out. But Kirk has him by the balls, and he has the university by the balls, and that's just facts. So, you know, take that as you may, but that's reality. Now, again, I just think it's wild to put win expectations onto a contract. Also, what's going to be incredible, and it's already started, is now the points per game tracking. That's all people are going to be focused on, Kev. Like,
yeah, probably.
Like, we're gonna play the first game, and who do we play? Like Utah State or something like that. I forget who we play first this year. And we're gonna score like third.
Who the hell do we open up with?
We're gonna score like 28 points, 35 points, and people are gonna start going, oh, here we go. Starters are still in. We're up 40 because we're trying to hit that 25 points per game metric. Do we ever pull starters now? I guarantee that KF and BF are going to know those points per game averages every time they go into a game. And if they're close and it's like, you know, it's it,
well,
how does this affect play calling?
If we haven't scored 25 points, then, you know, we're probably only up three touchdowns. The starters really don't get pulled if we're only up three touchdowns, right?
But how does it affect play calling, right? Usually if we're up 14 points, you know, we're not aggressive, right?
This is true.
Now it's now all of a sudden it's 20 to 6 against, like, you know, Illinois, and it's the fourth quarter and it's late in the season. I don't know who our late game seasons are, our late games are this year. All of a sudden it's, but we've only scored 24.1 points per game, and we need like 27 or 30 or 35 to start inching that up. Now all of a sudden the Hawks are passing, and it's fourth quarter and we're passing up two touchdowns. Like, it's going to literally, that's what we've set ourselves up for. I mean, they've implemented a change into a contract where it's going to affect offensive strategy.
Man, I know what you're saying. I find it hard to believe that at the end of the day, both Brian and Kirk aren't just going to be focused on first and foremost winning the game.
And I agree with that, but how could it not seep into the back of your mind, right? If you're the play caller and all of a sudden this contract is out there where your contract terminates or doesn't renew with the 25 points per game number, and you're at 24.2 and it's the last game of the year and you've only got 20 points on the board. Like, it's just like you're leaving it up for, there's some slip room. There's a little slippage room here where it's like, damn, this is interesting. So I don't know. To go back onto the Brian thing and the whole, he would be fired anywhere else in the country. You're probably right. But I want to make a point about why Iowa is different in a good way relative to Brian Ferentz and him being a coach there in a similar sense, right? Would he be fired anywhere else because he would not be the son of a head coach somewhere else? Maybe, probably, yes. But he also didn't play at any other program. And I'll tell you why that's good. It's 2013. Kevin probably remembers this. It's camp. It's a week out from game number one. And they tell us, we're practicing in Kinnick. And they tell everybody, all right, we're going to practice the swarm. And they have us run over to the tunnel all the way back. And who's at the front teaching the swarm? It's Brian Ferentz. Because he did that fucker 50 sometimes. Well, 30 sometimes with the home games. Swarmed out of away game stadiums too. He knows what the swarm is about. This may sound pedantic to you. This may sound small potatoes.
Can I get a definition on pedantic? It's a good word.
When you unnecessarily worry about small details, pull up a definition of pedantic. I think it fits.
Look at you pulling out big boy words.
Those of you at home may think this is small potatoes, but it's not. The culture at Iowa matters. I know some of you are going to go culture. Oh, they're fucking racist. Okay. Stop listening. Don't listen to the podcast. Pedantic, narrowly. Oh, that's not a, of relating to being a pedant. Go down to three. It doesn't really work. Whatever.
I take back my compliment of your vocabulary.
You should. I deserve to be held accountable. Brian knows the culture. He knows the program. He played with half the goddamn coaches. There's something he brings outside of the offensive guru success, something that is valuable to the team, not just the offense, but the entire team, that he isn't going to be able to give anywhere else as a coach, and he is only going to be able to give at Iowa, and it is an advantage. He can get guys to get up and play for him. He knows the culture. He's crucial in the offseason development of team chemistry. And he's also, the last 2 years, worked with the biggest gap of defensive output and offensive tools to work with. That is not to try and slight what we've had offensively the last 2 years. And I know a lot of you do not like to put it on the players. But hey, the players are the ones who are on the field. And newsflash, if you haven't figured this out, the players weren't getting it done offensively the last 2 years. Specifically, that line looked like a wet paper bag. No one else has had to deal with such contrast between what the tools they're given with, the 11 guys that they're able to put on the field, and then what the other 11 are doing on the other side of the ball. It makes it even worse. Do I think Brian is a good offensive coordinator? Because it sounds like I'm making this argument that he is. No, I don't. If they would go another direction and go seek somebody out, would I be at all upset? Not even a little bit. I don't give a fuck. But we have to look at this logically. All right? You have to try your best to just not be pissed at something. Right? Try and find a little bit of optimism in it. That's all I have to say. I mean, that's it's what I think about it. Any other thoughts on that?
No, not really. Like I said in the very first beginning, I think this whole thing was just way overblown. I don't know if people were expecting him to get fired or get an announcement that he was moving on or something like that. I think, like you said, people were just like, oh, God, he got brought back, and then just kind of overreacted. But looking forward to a much better offense this year.
I agree. One of the other things that was interesting that becomes a certain scenario there, and I know it's probably not going to happen, but the way they've set it up with that contract is, what if six of our defensive starters get hurt, or for some reason we just can't gel, or something happens.
We're throwing up 40 points a game, and then
our defense is giving up 40 a game, and all of a sudden the offense is averaging 30 a game. Great. But now we're 6-6 because our defense.
I've asked this question before, and I'm just genuinely curious what the fan base would prefer. Given the record's the same, would you rather have a good offense and a bad defense, or a great defense and a bad offense?
I think over the
the record's going to be the exact same against the exact same teams.
And for me, if you're telling me the records are the same, I literally don't care. I'm the guy who literally does not care how it happens. I'm the guy who wants a Torrey Taylor punt to the 1 yard line, a Joe Evans safety in the end zone, and I want him to win 2-0 12 times in a row, and I'm going to be ecstatic. And we could average 0 points a game offensively and just win 2-0, and I don't give a fuck. But I think most of the fans moan and groan because they want to be entertained. And it's like, just look at 2021, 10 wins. I get it. We got blown out in the Big Ten championship, but 10 wins and people were pissed. I think legitimately being entertained and seeing good offense is worth at least one, maybe more wins to a lot of fans. And it's ridiculous. I think a lot of people, if the offense was exciting, they'd rather see us go 8-4 with a super exciting offense than 10-2 and have to deal with the way our offense has played the last 2 years. And that blows me.
I mean, you're probably not wrong, right?
That just doesn't even make any sense in my mind. But that's where our bias comes in, because we played and you and I are hardwired to not give a fuck. We don't care what the
– all that matters is getting the win, right?
The W is what matters, and it does not matter. Their entertainment value, there is none. It's a game. We're trying to win. Sorry, I don't lace them up and snap footballs, and you know, generally the long snapper shouldn't be the one talking about this.
The long snapper's calling an audible. He's calling the pole cat to himself.
Fuck it.
We need more points. The fans deserve a show.
Exactly. Trust me. If it was on the long snapper to increase the entertainment value of the game, I would have been throwing high balls all over the place, calling the fakes that we had in the playbook, making it interesting. But that's not what the players and the coaches are out there to do. Sorry to tell you. I don't know. There's an episode, a lot of me ranting. By listening to this, you'd think I'm worked up over it. And I'm actually kind of proud of myself because I don't give a fuck. But if I need to put on a show for 55 minutes, I could do it. You know, I don't care.
We've proven that we can just talk for an hour and somehow there's a show.
It's fucking unbelievable. Yeah. And now we get to do it in HD. Look at the God, you look good.
Do I?
Oh, yes.
Thanks, buddy.
The clips are going to be insane. Gary is going to be erect when he's putting these clips together. He's like, damn, I can see Kevin's face. It's not like, it doesn't look like a 2D game from 2004.
Early 2000s was a great.
There's a lot of good games.
Video games, though.
There's a lot of good games. So that's all we got to say. We got Nick Jackson. Defense looks stout. Be optimistic about the offense. The Brian stuff is the Brian stuff, and it's not changing, so there's no reason to be pissed, and that's it.
It's not something that you can control, so don't even worry about it.
Exactly. That's all I got to say. I got to go help with bedtime. Appreciate you guys being here, episode 393 or something like that. We didn't even preview the Super Bowl. Hey, the Chiefs are playing the Eagles. I think the Eagles are probably going to win because they're really good. But who knows?
Good defensive line can get pressure with four. Mahomes banged up ankle still. Probably can't escape a rush that great. That's the way you beat Mahomes. So give me the Eagles.
I'm going to take the Eagles as well. We'll break down that game probably right after it happens. And Kevin's
you and Drake will. I will be.
Kevin's going to be on the goddamn beach because it's 6 hours ahead of time. So
behind
the time. Yeah,
four.
6 hours from the central time.
Four.
No, it's six.
It's four.
I guarantee it's six because I fucking remember.
How much you want to bet?
I'll bet everything I own.
$10,000 right now. Hawaii is 4 hours behind this U.S. central time zone.
I mean, you're making me question it a lot.
Because you're wrong. I'm going to pull up the clock right
Grant,
now.
Well, you don't have to pull it up. Grant's probably already on it. What do we got, Grant? Kevin wrote this. Kevin wrote the code. Unbelievable that you created a Google page just for this, Kevin. Absolutely unbelievable. I don't know where I got 6 hours.
I will take everything you own, please. And thank you very much. That includes your daughter. She is my property now.
You're probably a better father than me anyway.
Be a good house servant.
I mean, yeah, I know she's going to grow up with, you know, with resources. So that's good.
Wow. I own all Clue stuff now. This is great.
Congratulations.
Too bad you don't have anything. But
I don't really have a lot. You get a lot of.
Actually, I'm super stoked. I get the rower, the assault bike. I get the rower.
Yeah,
get
the Peloton. Those are the biggest items.
Yeah,
you can have the ring light too.
Yeah, the ring light, man. We got the HD now. I need the ring light.
Yeah, you're gonna be set up. All right, that's it. I gotta go feed my daughter so that when she gets to Kevin, she's not hungry. that's it. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll talk to you later. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.